Hello, I'm Joe Vigliotti, Carroll County Commissioner from District 1, and thank you for listening in. I very much hope that you're doing well and that you've been enjoying the spring so far. The Board of Commissioners has been working alongside our Management and Budget Department for the last few weeks in this season on the fiscal year 2024 budget. Given that there's a lot going on with this budget, and given that there are some serious changes, I felt it best to devote the entire podcast this week to talking about as much of that as I can, and to account for the decisions that we've reached. Budgeting, as we already knew, was going to be difficult. There are contending interests, and while we wish we could fund everything, we simply can't do that. We understand that there have to be limits, and we also understand that the money that we're using is not ours, but yours. So starting with the recommended budget, which included regular operations and costs, we moved on to consider additional requests. The sheriff, the library system, the schools, and others all had a number of such requests, some pertaining to salary, others pertaining to the services provided, others pertaining to operations, and more. And we understand that everything from rising costs to competition with other counties to mandates from the state are going to influence what's being requested, as well as wanting to provide adequate pay for the men and women who provide services for the citizens of our county. The school system originally received a $6.7 million increase in this year's recommended budget. The school system then asked for another $6.7 million on top of that, for a total increase of $13.4 million. We were able to fund $6.2 million of the second $6.7 million, amounting to $12.9 million altogether, $500,000 short of the total request. Some of this helps to prepare the way for Blueprint, but more on that in a little while. The Sheriff's Department also requested funding in addition to what had already been planned. We were originally thinking that we would only be able to fund 50% of those additional requests, but we managed to get to 75%. And this helps to increase the competitiveness of salaries for our men and women in law enforcement and corrections. The same was true with the library, of which we managed to provide 89% of their funding request in addition to what was already planned. That additional funding includes minimum wage increases that were just passed by the state. We were also able to provide some additional funding for nonprofits, such as Rape Crisis Intervention and Access Carroll. We're also going to be proceeding with the new review-based requirement for nonprofits, such as the Art Center and the County Historical Society, in which they must provide written documentation for how county-provided funds are spent. This was a suggestion Commissioner Gordon proposed, and which was unanimously agreed upon by the entire Board of Commissioners. Elsewhere in the budget, we were confronted with the demands for service. In past years, around 100 county positions were eliminated in order to help balance the budget due to the 2008 recession, while the same level of services continued to be provided. The workforce was never regrown to that same level. The county's population, however, has grown since 2008, and so it is increasingly difficult to provide services, let alone account for increased demand for other services. One of those services, to assist volunteer fire companies, is the County Department of Fire and EMS. It is necessary that the county oversees a combination paid and volunteer system, as the number of calls for fire and medical emergencies especially increases, and as volunteerism declines across the state and the county. Even with these increased costs and increased demands for service, the Board of Commissioners understands that times for our citizens are incredibly difficult. Inflation and the economy in general are forcing families to make extremely difficult choices. I brought up the point during our discussion that many Americans are using tax refunds to pay for food, which is both heartbreaking and indicative of how dire the times are at the moment. So when faced with the question of how to increase revenue to meet increased demands for services without affecting people in their daily lives, we looked at a number of things. Through the course of our discussion, we knew that there would have to be a balance struck. County employees were slated for a 5.5% salary increase this year, but we cut that by 1%. Funds had been marked for a major dam project at Piney Run, and we reduced the funding set aside for that based on suggested estimates. Funds had also been marked for PFAS remediation. PFAS, or polyfluoroalkyl, are kinds of chemicals used to make waterproof products, as well as firefighting substances. PFAS has been shown to be dangerous, and the county's training center for fire and EMS is going to require cleaning. As we do not know the exact cost of this yet, we were able to move some of that funding initially set aside for this. We removed some funding from agricultural preservation as well, and altered that amount going forward, though in the present year, we added one-time surplus funding with the hope of accelerating the program. I also advanced a suggestion of using surplus income from last fiscal year to pay for projects without incurring additional debt to save money in the long run. My fellow commissioners offered up a number of good suggestions for such projects, and this will help the county fiscally over time in a very sound way. Small increases in water and sewer rates and tipping fees at the dump were advanced to help pay for all of the services provided in each of those areas. There were a number of things that we rejected or which were not included in the budget as well, such as a $90 million sports and tech complex for the community college, a brand new $19 million library in Eldersburg, waterless restrooms at various parks, development of new parks, county office renovations, senior center renovations, and more. Even then, with all of this, we still fell short of a balanced budget. We did not want to increase property taxes or income taxes, which affect citizens in a daily way, and so ultimately we decided on raising the recordation tax, which is attached to the selling of houses. Most citizens are not buying and selling a home on a daily or even an annual basis, and none of us are happy about having to raise a tax of any kind. But in this situation, it was a third way forward. We could not do nothing, and we could not increase income or property taxes, and so the third way was recordation. This means, for example, that the sheriff will now be able to better pay for his deputies, and will be able to attract new hires and retain those hires, and the Department of Fire and EMS can continue to form for the benefit of our citizens. So between cutting employee salary increases, preventing the accumulation of debt, reshuffling some funding, cutting funding in other areas, limiting additional request funding, and raising the recordation tax rate, we managed to balance this year's budget. The projections for next year, however, are even worse than this year. We are already looking at a negative starting position of nearly $2 million. When one factors into account the blueprint mandate, the negative position will spiral with an additional $32 to $50 million. The board is aware of how serious a challenge this is, and so we are doing something that has not been done before. Rather than waiting for April of next year to begin budgeting for fiscal year 2025, we are going to begin budget discussions this summer in just a few months from now for FY25. Those discussions will certainly be wide-ranging. The return of developer impact fees, perhaps another recordation tax increase, the slashing of proposed salary increases, perhaps cutting funding to certain nonprofits, as well as working together with the Board of Education to push back against state blueprint mandates, I'm sure are all going to be up for discussion. I'm sharing all of this with you not merely for transparency or to give you an indication of my thinking, or even a recap of the budgeting sessions which are all filmed and available online, but out of respect for you and to explain the very serious fiscal situation ahead of us. Again, it is serious enough that we are going to begin considering FY25 almost a year ahead of schedule. We are taking this all very, very seriously. Now, before I wrap things up today, I did want to remind you that the county will be hosting its second annual Veteran Celebration at the Farm Museum in Westminster on Saturday, May 7th, running from noon to 4 p.m. Admission and parking are free. Everyone is welcome. There will be food available to purchase, live music, all kinds of exhibits, and more. I very much hope that I will see you there. As always, if you have any questions, comments, or criticisms, please do not hesitate to reach out to us. I hope that the rest of your spring is wonderful, and I pray that God blesses you in every single possible way. Thank you for listening.